Let's start with prayer. Dear Lord God, we come to you this morning, Lord, and we thank you so much for this time together. Lord, we thank you for this day, and Lord, we just ask that you would minister to us, speak to us from your word, and let it be something we can use. And it says your word never returns void. So we know if we listen and pay attention to it, there will be something that we can use. We just thank you so much now, in Jesus' name, amen. What I talk about this morning is I'll talk a little bit about influence. And what got me thinking about that was me and my wife watched that new movie Noah that came out. And if you watch it as a movie, it's cool. But if you watch it for anything else, it's really, really bad. But it got me to thinking. There's a lot of people that don't read their Bible a whole lot, and they don't know very much about it. And when they watch a movie like that, it's very easy for them to think that that's the way the Bible portrays it, that, you know, that's the real thing. And there's no reason why they would think otherwise. I mean, it says it's based on the Bible, so it ought to be a biblical movie. But, you know, they took some, well, I think it's beyond liberties. I mean, they flat changed stuff and made it different. So it got me to thinking. It's like, you know, we all get influenced. Things influence us. And I want to read out of Luke, and it's Jesus talking. He says, "What is the kingdom of God like? What shall I compare it to? It is like a mustard seed which a man took and planted in his garden. It grew and became a tree. The birds perched in its branches." Again he asked, "What shall I compare the kingdom of God to? It is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough." Or if you look at that and you read it and think about it, he's making the comparison against yeast, that the kingdom of God is like yeast. Well, anybody that knows a lot about baking knows that yeast will take over your entire dough. That's the whole purpose of it. You put it in there and that's what it does. And that's how the kingdom of God is. I mean, it started years and years ago over in Israel, and it has just slowly grown, and it keeps growing, and it keeps growing, and it gradually takes things over. And if we pay attention to what the kingdom of God represents, you know, hopefully we get the message of Jesus out of it, and we receive Jesus as our Savior, and all is great. Well, that's super. Well, something that happens, you know, like when me and my wife were first saved, you know, and you talk to a lot of other people that have been saved. When you're first born, man, you just feel clean. Just everything is just great. I mean, you are a new person, just like the Bible says. And for some reason, you just have that clean feeling, you know, like just nothing can bother you, and you know, just life is good. You know, it's never going to be bad again, is what you think. But like a friend of mine, we were talking at work, and he says, "You know, when I was first saved, man, things were just great." And he says, "Just gradually over time, I don't feel that great anymore. And things are just not like they used to be, like when I was first saved." He says, "Man, I don't know, you know, why it is like that." Well, I think I do know why it is like that. Because just like the kingdom of God is, you know, Jesus uses the example of yeast for the kingdom of God, you can use that example for the world. We get influenced by the things that we're around. And that is just the way it is. You know, if I read what Jesus says down here, let's see. Well, let's read Galatians first. I kind of got ahead of myself a little bit. It says, "You were running a good race," and this is Paul talking, "who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth?" Exactly what I just said about that friend of mine. Now, hey, what happened? What kept you? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough, just like we already said. And the yeast takes over. Well, so do the things of life take over. And they don't necessarily have to be a bad thing. It's not always a bad thing. But stuff can still take over your life and take you further and further away from Jesus. And if you go further down, here's where Jesus is talking. It says, Jesus began to speak first to his disciples, saying, be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. He actually even warned about the Pharisees, which at that time were the leaders of the church. They weren't doing what they were supposed to, and they were making people do all kinds of stuff. I mean, they had all kinds of rules and regulations that were man-made, the traditions, as people would call it. And, yes, they influence you. And Jesus even warns against that. So, you know, again, what happens? Well, it starts small. You know, we watch stuff on TV maybe we ought to not be watching. You know, listen to the radio, magazine. It can be anything. And things just gradually interfere with our life. And another analogy I used to use a lot is it's like you're in a rowboat and you're tied to the dock and everything is great. You untie that boat, and even so, you're not rowing the boat. If you wait long enough, next thing you know, that little boat's just out there in the middle of the pond, and you're like, well, how did it get there? Well, that's how we are. You know, we're plugged into Jesus, man. We're saved. We're doing great. Everything is good. But the worries of life come in. You start worrying about the bills over here, and you're doing something over there you ought to not be doing, or you're watching these shows that, you know, they're not really good, but a little bit of it won't hurt. I don't think that's going to bother me. Well, it all gradually influences us. Now, if we're saved, we're saved. We're not losing our salvation over it. But what you really lose is your peace. And all of a sudden, life ain't great no more. And I know the friend that I'm talking about, you know, from earlier that made the comment, when I look at his life, he's not a happy person. And it's not that he's really doing anything real wrong, but he's missing out on a lot of blessings because he's let life interfere with his walk with Christ. And we need to put him first and all the rest of it, second, third, and fourth. Then we can have that peace that we want to have. And then the other thing besides that is, you know, a lot of us think we can walk this path all alone. And you've probably heard some preacher or even me say, you can't be a loner Christian. You can't really do this stuff all by yourself. You need people to help you. You need, when you're down, when things are really going bad and things are messing up, that's usually when you don't feel like praying because, yeah, I'm in a bad mood. I don't even feel like talking to God. Sounds really bad, but I know I've been there. That's when you need your friends and your family to pray for you. You know, they can carry that torch, you might want to say. And then the next time when they're not feeling good and you're all up and going, man, you just need to pray and do this, you can do that for them. And if you read in Acts, what the early believers, it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And then a little further down it says, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Now, do we need to go visit somebody every night or, you know, go hang out with everybody just constantly every day? The way the world works now is really hard to do. But just what we're doing works. You know, last night we barbecued and we hung out together. Hey, there's influence. We just need to strategically place one another to where we talk to them and hang out with the right people. It doesn't have to be in a church building necessarily. Does God want us to worship him? Yes, he does. Does he want us to go to church? Well, if everything I read out of Acts, yeah, he'd like us to go to church. But is that the only place that we ought to be hanging out with our Christian friends? No, we should hang out with them all the time. That will influence us. And then, you know, say you are a real busy person, you know, like myself, I travel with work a lot of times, and I don't get to go to church as much as I'd like to or should. Well, there are certain radio preachers that I like, that I listen to, that, you know, influence my life very good. There's, you know, podcasts nowadays where you can have the stuff sent to your phone and you listen to it on the way to work. There's, you know, you can read the Bible. There's a lot of different ways that you can stay plugged in. And all that stuff will encourage you and make you feel better. But I think the best thing to feel better is still being plugged in with other Christians. Ain't nothing like a friend walking up, oh, man, I know how you feel. I felt that way last month, but I don't feel that way today. So I know, as my little sister always says, it came to pass, it didn't come to stay. I always thought that was just the perfect way to put it. A lot of things come to pass, but they don't come to stay. It'll all be gone. So I'm going to read one last scripture here out of Hebrew. It says, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. And right there is what I said. I mean, we got to build each other up. That's what it takes. And when we build one another up, things will go a lot better. And then he says, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. So the whole secret to our walk with Christ, or one of the secrets, or this guy's not really a secret because it's played in the Bible. All we got to do is read it. But one of the things that makes our walk with Christ better is being with one another, talking about things, getting to know one another. You know, there are certain things, when there are certain things wrong in your life, some of them you don't want to talk to everybody about. Now, I talk to my wife about everything. But there's other people. I don't want to share my dirty laundry with just anybody. And you got to have good enough friends where you know who you can share your stuff with and who you're not, because you don't want it broadcast all over everywhere. Well, if you don't spend the time with them to get to know them, you never get to that point where you feel you're comfortable enough to do that. So that's why we need to spend that time together. So the whole point of my message today is careful of the yeast. Things influence us. And be it just a movie, putting thoughts in our head that don't fit with what we're taught, so it confuses. Be it television programs that we ought to not be watching. I don't care. You can just go on and on. Magazines we look at. Let's make sure we remember who we belong to and how we should walk our walk. Because if we don't, it'd be very easy to be a casualty, and I don't think any of us want to be that. And with that, I'd like to close. Let's pray. Dear Father God, we just love you so much. We thank you. You make our walk with you easy, but we don't make it easy. If we put you first, if we start our day every day with you first, if we focus on you, if we put our burdens on you instead of on us, things go better. We're more happy. We feel close to you. Life is better. I mean, it just gets better. And we can have joy in our hearts. It may not be, everything may not be great, but we can have that inner peace that we look for. Father, I just ask right now you'd minister to each one of us and just draw us close to you to make that a priority in all our lives. We can still go racing. We can still have fun. We can do a whole bunch of things. We just got to remember to keep you number one, to where your yeast penetrates our lives and not the yeast of the world. We just thank you so much. Lord, as we get ready to go riding today, Lord, I just ask that you let us have a good time. Keep us all safe, coming and going, and let's do it all for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.